other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Great to be with you again. Patrick Conley here to lead you through this next hour as we seek to rediscover the beauty, the depth, the wonder of our Catholic faith, of our life with Christ. And as we're recording this, a storm system is moving in here to the Twin Cities. And, thank God for storms. I hope that many of you are a fan of storms as I am. And I think, as I tell this story, I've oftentimes had others say that their dad or their mom did the same thing. Well, I used to be really terrified of storms when I was a little boy. And at one point when I was growing up, a storm system rolled in around our family home. And my dad took two lawn chairs out onto the front porch. And we sat there and together we watched the storm go by. And ever since, I have been a huge fan of storms. Occasionally if it gets really, really serious, I might, some of that anxiety might pop up again, but other than that, I've been such a fan of storms. But I say that today, as the rain begins to come down and soak into the soil, I'm just thinking that this is a good analogy, and of course, I'm in good company. Jesus used a lot of natural analogies in his teaching. He talked about farming, gardening, seeds and plants and growth. And I think that this is a good analogy, too, of how our faith needs to saturate our lives. I hope that that is happening with you. I hope that in your relationship with the Lord, you start to see how that faith, how that that relationship just molds and shapes every little bit of who you are. From day to day, from moment to moment, that it is something that influences you, that you are. And I realize we're not all perfect at this, but we need to be giving over our lives each and every moment to the Lord, and recognizing that He is always with us. And I say that partially in anticipation of today's show, as we're going to be talking with a couple of the Leading with Faith Award winners and just how faith has saturated their lives as they are going about their everyday world. But just again, our faith is not something that's just a Sunday morning thing. I had to learn that lesson a little bit the hard way when I was in college. Faith at that point was a Sunday morning thing, and I think it was a Tuesday night Bible study that I was part of. Those things that was kind of my time given over to God. And yet, I didn't quite yet understand that, that is something that needs to be every day, every minute, every hour. So I guess my encouragement to you today is to recognize that and to take maybe one more step forward in making that happen, because the Lord is always there. He's always there wanting to be close to us, wanting to influence us, wanting to love us. And we just have to remember to incorporate Him. So if you're listening to the Rediscover Hour, I hope that is a good practice of that, knowing that Jesus is always close, that He is here with you even now, whether you're at home, whether you're driving, whether you're at work, He is with you and He will always be there for you. So what's one more thing you can do to bring up that awareness in your own life? Is it remembering to say a prayer right before you go to bed, right after you get up in the morning? Maybe at mealtimes, maybe at some point, there is one other way that you can encounter the Lord throughout your day. I guess that's my encouragement to you this morning. So as I said, we're going to be talking today with some of the Leading with Faith Award winners. And are you familiar with the Leading with Faith Award? And it is given to those people who are nominated. It is given to specific people who have led with faith. In other words, they lead their lives with faith, and that their faith influences, their faith changes how they go about their everyday lives, specifically in their work, in their family, in their home, all sorts of ways that faith has saturated their lives. And one of the first guests we're going to talk with is Luke Cahill, and the second guest is Dr. Mary Paquette. The two of them are going to be on the show today, and we're going to find out more about how faith has influenced them. And then a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Christopher Thompson, who has appeared on the show a couple times before already, and so we're going to hear from him again. And he's going to be talking about his book, The Joyful Mystery, Field Notes Toward a Green Thomism, and just helping us understand a little bit more about how God and creation are, God has given creation as a gift to us. So that's what's on store for the Rediscover Hour coming up this hour. Excuse me, but before we get started, let's dedicate the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll get this frog out of my throat, because when we come back, we're going to be hearing from the Leading with Faith Award winners, Luke Cahill and Dr. Mary Paquette, right after this. Rediscover.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a give first organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a give first organization. Give them a call today.
I wanna open my eyes, take the shades up, pull the sun from the sky, step out in faith and step into something unknown. See what awaits and trust what isn't shown.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We are talking today about leading with faith, about letting the faith saturate our lives and influence everything that we do. Joining me now in studio is Luke Cahill, who is a 2018 Leading with Faith Award winner. His current position is managing principal at Real Insight Incorporated, and he also serves as a member of two boards, Christians in Commerce and the Catholic Services Appeal Foundation. He and his wife, Angela, have five kids and some very Irish names here.
Yes.
Lachlan, Torin, Colum, Beckin, and baby Tressa. And you are a hockey family. Everybody plays hockey, right? And you watch hockey, you play hockey, you go to hockey games. Right? Am I right about that?
That is all correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the program,
yes,
Luke.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. And
yeah.
You said before that Tressa, baby Tressa, is still learning in terms of hockey.
Yeah, she'll probably skate before she walks, but she's at 2 months old. It's a little premature at this point.
You are real Minnesotans here. That's excellent. All right. So tell us a little bit before we get into the award and just how your faith influences. Tell us a little bit about your spiritual history. I mean, how did you grow up in the faith? Was there a specific time that the Lord really came to mean something more to you? Tell us a little bit about your own spiritual history.
Yeah, absolutely. So raised in a strong Catholic family, and actually my parents and family belonged also to an ecumenical Christian community. So I kind of got both a charismatic kind of upbringing as well as a good solid Catholic foundation. And then more or less, I'm a rule follower. So I tended to stay pretty close, go to church every Sunday, even when I went off to school. And also, I'm now married to my high school sweetheart, and so it was good to be connected with her through college and my immaturity as well, because she helped kind of preserve a lot of the faith and the importance as I was kind of developing myself. And as I think can happen a lot with husbands, I think, especially as we're maturing, she kind of carried the faith for the family, I would say. And as our family started to grow, my focus was more on work and different things like that, and committed to going to church, but really I wasn't investing in my own personal relationship. A lot has changed in the last 2 years or so, where my faith really has become my own. And kind of one of the tipping points was just the realization as my kids started to get older, I'm like, they're going to discover that I'm not all in, that I'm kind of walking the talk in a more, in a consistent way. And there's a lot of kind of holes in my faith life. So, that kind of was the start of seeking out and knowing I needed to be better. And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and a lot has changed as a result.
Yeah. You got to watch out when that happens. And just going back to one of your earlier comments, I have to throw in that I think there's probably, I don't even know if there's a wife alive yet who hasn't in some way or another have to put up with her husband's immaturity on some level. So I'm in good company with you. I'm sure my wife would agree. And I think that's our wives are real blessings to us.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So in the last 2 years, you said the Holy Spirit got a hold of your faith, really started to come alive. Give us a couple examples. What does that look like? What does that mean? More prayer, more fervent mass attendance? What does that mean?
I think in this day and age, authenticity is so critical. Mm-hmm. And in the workplace especially, I think, is the stakes are high. So these are, you're around your coworkers 8 hours, 10 hours a day. So there's a lot of opportunities to either set a good example and lead with faith. And there's a lot of opportunities for cracks to show and for you to show more of the human kind of flawed side. And historically, I would say people knew especially my coworkers, they knew I went to church. They knew that I was a Catholic, but I don't know that my behavior was in any way distinguishing me as different from a normal person. And especially in the workplace, there's inherent stresses, you know, and as I was alluding to, the time with people. So you have all this time to be good or to be frustrated and that sort of thing. And so for me, the role of the Holy Spirit in kind of, part of it was perspective. Part of it was, how do I bring this authentic self, my faith authentically every single day and every single moment? And it's only through essentially letting go of myself. I'm inherently a fairly judgmental person, fairly lazy person. And so me without God is very uninspiring.
I think you and I would get along really well, Luke. I just got to say that. I think we're blood brothers here somehow.
But and so for me, it was a discovery I got prayed with for baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had this, from that point on, I had this earnest desire for more of God. So my prayer life became a priority. I was never able to consistently pray. You know, I might go through a couple days at a time, but starting my day in prayer every single day, just the Bible has come alive as a result of that. Mm. And so when I start my day in prayer, when I show up to work, I know without even trying, the love of God is coming through me and impacting the lives of all I work with. So my coworkers, my clients, we do market research. So we're talking with strangers about, I don't know, cereal or whatever it is we're studying. But even there, my concern and care and compassion is real. In stressful situations, the peace that emanates from me is real and authentic and consistent. And I think that consistency is always the hardest piece. And that's where, you know, when Jesus came and set the example for us to follow, I mean, on our own, it's an impossible example to follow. But he didn't, when he ascended into heaven, he didn't leave us without any tools. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us essentially live as he provided the example for. And so I'm unrecognizable now from even 2 years ago. And I thought I was doing pretty well 2 years ago.
But thanks be to God, right? I mean, you see that happen. You can tell it in yourself. And I love that you said that your kids were a kicking off place for you, because like you were saying, your coworkers, they might not have been able to even distinguish that that your faith made any perceivable difference in your life before 2 years ago. And seeing that your kids, who it's really hard to pull one over on your kids, and they're going to be honest with you, right? Kids are just that way. They don't know yet to tell those little white lies to, you know, not offend people or hurt their feelings. But your coworkers then are the ones who it occurred to you that, wow, well, they're not going to see it either. They're not seeing anything different either. So I guess I got to own up to this all the way through. Is that more or less what
you're saying? Yeah, that's exactly right. And my workplace, so we have 12-ish people who are consistently in the office, and we're open floor plan, you know, we are in each other's lives. You know, it's a very integrated group, and we're a team that functions we highly prize collaboration, and kind of it's a necessity given how we've kind of structured the business. So you have a lot of time with these people, and a majority of my office are fairly typical, I guess, of especially young people in this day and age, fairly agnostic, you know, into yoga or some spiritual aspect, you know, bettering the world, but very non-religious. Mm-hmm. And part of it, I think, is they look at the examples around them and the examples of Christians being not good Christians. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of drives them to seek authenticity in other places where people are being more authentic in living out their beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it just elevates kind of the stakes, as I was saying before, for me to be attractive to them in how I live my life, not in a preaching sort of way, but in a behavior sort of way. And if they look at me and say, wow, I don't know how he brings this joy to the situation. And if I do that consistently every single day, especially as a leader in the organization where I'm setting the tone, it's been amazing how even in frustrating, difficult, challenging, stressful situations, how I'm able to do something very different than I've done in the past, mm-hmm. but be that example that is attractive and that over time can build a case, if you will, for yeah. It's like, wow, that may be something I want more of, and how do I get that?
Right, right. And God forgive me for the number of times where I've been in stressful situations and not responded in a godly manner.
We are human.
Yes, we are. Yes, absolutely. I'm just curious, have you heard anything from your coworkers? Has anybody said anything or made any kind of indication that they see this change in you?
It's a good question. In some ways, no, and in some ways, yes. So the person who nominated me had to kind of go collecting data, if you will, to kind of build build the case. And this was all, you know, behind my back. I had no idea any of this was going on. And so, you know, she connected with my wife, who connected with my office manager. And the stories that my office manager told my wife, she was like, who is this guy? You know, kind of, because again, she's known me longer, you know, through all phases. And so I know the difference is being felt, and I mean, there's a little bit of proof, but ultimately it's more that I know the consistency and just how, and really the health of the culture in the organization is a testament to that. So one example is we are just coming out of one of the busiest months of my, you know, the business as long as I've been a part of it. And, we had somebody out on maternity leave, so we were already tapped, and we had a giant project with a very difficult client, which was made even more challenging. And then in the middle of it all, one of our newer employees up and quit, which was, the old me would have had a very different response than I ended up having, and that's, again, a testament to the Holy Spirit. But how the team... First of all, how my reaction in the heat of the moment was kind of how that came across, which was compassionate, gratitude for the silver linings, mm-hmm. gratitude for the rest of my team who was not, you know, kind of was all in on everything that was going on. So that set the tone, but then it really rallied the team together. In a way where, again, you kind of use, as a leader, you set the tone and you try to influence, because or your authority comes from influence, not just because of my title. And so that was just one example where my team has been with me long enough to have known how I responded in the past to that situation and
right.
kind of the effortless response to this situation.
Yeah. Your wife, Angela, has she commented on the change?
I mean, she's probably more in love with me now than she was 2 years ago.
That is a good thing. That's a good thing.
We're all grateful. And, you know, the husband, spiritual head of the household, I was lacking in that duties. You know, she would mention it to me as often as she could without being naggy beforehand. But again, there's just something about you have to discover it for yourself and own it yourself. And so it's been so good for us. It's been so good for our boys. My boys know in the morning, Dad prays first, and then he's available to help with cereal or whatever, you know, whatever the need is. And the set that tone in the family has been huge for her and for our whole family.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The influence of both parents, certainly, but it's such a gift when the dad can set that kind of tone in the household. So, yeah, let that be a lesson to all dads that's something that we need to do is set that tone. I'm just going back to the Leading with Faith Award itself. Can you say a couple words about what being chosen, being as a recipient of this award, what it means to you personally?
Yeah, it's deeply humbling. I honestly thought it was an award that was kind of more tail end of the career. So the fact that I've still got 20 years, 20,
like
30 years left.
Like a lifetime achievement award. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I take it seriously that I've now got, I cannot fall back on my old ways. But it's, so my dad actually, so a little bit of backstory on how I got into the business that I'm running now, but he started it and he ran it for 20 years. I went to business school to avoid defaulting to the family business. I gained an appreciation for what he had created and refined, and so decided to go to work for him if he would have me. And it was in the first couple of years working with him that actually he was nominated and won the Leading with Faith Award. So that was, I think, 9 years ago or so.
Nice, yeah. And you're the first multi-generational winners, is that right?
I guess so. Hopefully okay. there's more to come. But he is somebody who wears his faith on his sleeve. He's extremely extroverted. Back when he was working in the business, he would be in a grocery store talking to people about Cheerios packaging. And then by the end of the interview, he literally was praying with people in the aisle. So that was just like who he is. And I'm an introvert. I'm not. So
you're praying for people in the aisle, perhaps.
Yes. And maybe even not that. I would just look at him and he seemed so out of reach for how extreme he was in living out his faith. And it was almost, I saw it as polarizing as opposed to appealing. And I didn't want to risk that as a business owner. So that was kind of where I was 9 years ago when kind of he was going through that. But as a result of a few things that I can get into in a minute, but this has become my central focus is how do I live an integrated life? How does my faith touch all aspects of my life? And a big part of my life, as it is for most people, is my job, you know, and the 40, 50, 60 hours a week that is spent doing that. So for the last couple of years, I've been involved with an organization called Christians in Commerce that it's not just for business people, it's for kind of all workers, but their mission really is to help equip and support people in the workplace where it often is a challenge for how do you live out your faith. And so as with most things, I had no intention of getting involved with this, but, you know, God led me down the way where I had a mentor who was involved with the organization, asked for a favor, needed some research help. So I owed him a lot. I said, fine, I'll help you with this research. And then one thing led to another. And then I'm now on the board of directors and all of what I discovered in being involved in this organization has set the perspective that God cares about my work. Mm-hmm. And he cares about my work because, you know, work is a gift. You know, Adam and Eve, you know, they were working in the garden, and that was kind of a huge part of our purpose and why we're here. And so understanding that and then ultimately the role of the Holy Spirit in making that possible and in living out your faith in a more consistent way has been a huge focus of mine, a huge area of growth. So to have an award that basically acknowledges that something I care deeply about and I'm focused on trying to promote others to join me in it, to have that acknowledgement is hugely gratifying, because again, going back to that authenticity, apparently I'm not just preaching.
Yeah.
There's something in my behavior that's also reinforcing that.
Amen. So just in the remaining minute or two we have with you, I know you wanted to mention a little bit more about Christians in Commerce, where people can find out more information. And I believe you've got an event coming up in October.
Yep, absolutely. So we've been working hard to create a lot of content. We're big into telling stories and kind of real life stories. So at Christians in Commerce, it's not about talking to just CEOs of businesses or kind of people who have made it and are reflecting back on their life and all the successes they've had and integrating the two. It's really about helping people at all types of work and all types of situations. And so we have a website, workingforourfather.com.
Workingforourfather.com,
and we've been hard at work developing a number of podcasts, which again are kind of interview-based podcasts where we hear stories. And so Dr. Michael Naughton at St. Thomas is one of the people we talked with, and he talks about why Sunday matters on Monday as one example. So there's a number of great kind of topics and stories that get shared via that. There's a daily, we call them workday reflections, so you can sign up to kind of have in your inbox every morning an inspiring story and a way to start your day. It can be part of your prayer reflection in the morning. But then we also, October 5th, we have a one-day event here in Bloomington where we'll be having some great speakers. Dr. Michael Naughton will be speaking there as well. And the theme there is work-life peace. So a lot is talked about work-life balance, but as we know, it's really not about balancing the two. It's about integrating the two, and ultimately, how do you do that and find the peace that's only possible really through Christ? So again, you can find all the details and register there at workingforourfather.com.
And that's October the 5th.
October the 5th.
Is that open to pretty much anybody who's
anyone who wants to come? It's a $50. We're kind of subsidizing. We'd love to pack the place.
So okay, cool. Wonderful. Well, Luke Cahill, congratulations to you on being a Leading with Faith 2018 award winner, and thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's go from one Leading with Faith award winner to another. Well, joining us now on the phone is Dr. Mary Paquette, who is a family physician and has practiced in the St. Paul area since 1996, and she joined Alpha Family Clinic in 2000. I'm sure some of you listeners are familiar with Alpha. Her husband and she work opposite days so that they may share in the care of their children. And she is a graduate from the University of Minnesota Medical School in 1993. Dr. Paquette, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you with us. And so we're talking today to you specifically because you are a 2018 Leading with Faith Award winner. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yes. And so tell us a little bit, if you would, about your own spiritual history. Just growing up, did you grow up in the faith? Was there a time in your life that the Lord really came to mean a lot more to you? And or was he pretty consistently there all along? Yeah. Give us some of your spiritual history.
Sure. I'm the youngest of 10 children who grew up in a strong Catholic family in Minneapolis. And my mom and dad always just really developed our faith. We went to Catholic schools our whole lives. I personally really experienced the Lord in my life. Even as a child, I remember feeling close to Jesus. And as I went through school, was really blessed by a lot of good teachers and youth ministers who helped grow that. But a significant impact in my life was the Catholic Youth Center in St. Paul at the time, where the beginnings of NET Ministries and St. Paul's Outreach were happening, and my involvement with that from about the age of 17 into my late 20s had a huge impact on continuing to develop my faith.
Hmm. And now that you're an adult and now you have a husband and kids and that sort of thing, I'm assuming that your faith has been pretty integral in terms of your family life now as well.
Definitely. When we were dating, it was really, we talked a lot about how important it was to be involved in the lives of our children. I had one condition in looking for a husband, besides that he be Catholic, was that he not be a doctor. And God laughed.
One out of two ain't bad, huh?
Yeah. And the reason was is I knew so many two-doctor couples where there was no family life because everybody was working all the time. And so my husband was amazing. Even then he said, you know, I think what you do is important, and I'm willing to work part-time. And so from the time they were born, we've been able to work opposite days so that we've been able to really be involved in their lives.
That's a tremendous gift. But as you yourself said, as our previous guest said, that parents can have a huge influence on kids in so many ways. One of them, of course, one of the foundational things being that
right.
faith. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about how your faith, how your practice of the faith influences your practice of medicine.
The world of medicine today is in a sad state. So much of what's being done now is focused on how can we make money and how can we do that efficiently. And I think by being in our own practice, we've been able to really look at it from a different standpoint in the area of how can we take care of people, how can we take the time they need to be able to do what needs to be done to actually help people heal. That's been a big part of it. And then additionally, the whole work of natural family planning, the world of infertility and gynecology today revolves completely around the birth control pill. And that no matter what's wrong with you, we'll put you on the pill. That's not working, we'll put you on a different pill. That's not working, we'll put you on a shot. And there's just very little thought put into it. And there's very little regard for what a woman actually has wrong with her or what her desires would be in having her body work. So in working with natural family planning, we've really been able to carry the church's mission forward for helping women's bodies to heal and to work so that they're able to welcome children into their lives.
Which is obviously a wonderful gift, such a great gift. I'm just curious, too, about some of your patients and how they've responded to this faith-based approach to obstetrics, gynecology, and the different topics that you mentioned already in the way that you're not doing the typical thing. Any of your patients surprised by that? Any of them curious about that?
Yeah, you know, it's very rarely that I get somebody who's not at all aware of our mission anymore when they started our practice. But initially, I would come across people and they would say, well, you know, why don't you prescribe the pill? There was a curiosity there. And I was able to explain through my work with the Pope Paul VI Institute the negative effects of the birth control pill on women's health, but also the advantages of saying, okay, what's actually wrong with your body and how can we fix that? And women are fascinated by that. We present at the Archdiocesan Marriage Prep Retreats at St. Thomas regularly, and each time there's a line of women who come up and say, oh, I would love to be off the pill. You mean there's a way it can be done? And that's the need that we're filling, is all these people out there who so desperately want to follow the church's teaching and have good health, but don't know how to find it. I think one of my favorites was a woman early on in my practice. I think she was in her early 80s who came in and she had traveled the distance to come there for a physical. And she said, I just once wanted to see a doctor who didn't act negatively about the fact that I had a large family. Mm. And I feel like that's a need also that we fill, is that respect for patients and their decisions on their family life.
Mm. And again, you're practicing at Alpha Family Clinic. Just in case there's a listener or two out there who haven't heard of you and want to know more, is there a way for them to find out about Alpha?
You know what? I am so tech not savvy. when I want to find anything, I just go online. But it's Alpha. It's A-A-L-F-A. And we do have a website. If you just search Alpha, it's the only one that comes up. Also, a lot of our work is based on the Pope Paul VI Institute, and their website has some great information on NAPRO technology, which is a lot of what we do there.
Okay, wonderful. So just Just curious, too, about if you have any advice to give to others who want to lead with faith, anything that you would say to them?
I think the things that have been most crucial to me is trusting in God's plan. So often, I know what God wants, but I can't see the way. And knowing that He knows the way, and just trying to be obedient in each step and know that He's going to provide. Time and time again, we've been so amazed at how God's generosity outdoes anything that we can do, and He provides for even our smallest needs.
That indeed He does, and you are out there providing for some of His smallest gifts as well, the gift of children and the gift that they are to their families. Dr. Paquette, I'm so grateful for the work that you do. Congratulations on being a 2018 Leading with Faith Award winner, and please keep leading with faith.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the program.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are going to take our next break, and when we come back, we've got a fascinating interview with Dr. Christopher Thompson, who is going to be telling us a little bit more about what a green Thomism actually is. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
But I'll sing your glory now. I'll sing your glory now. I'll sing your glory now and forever.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, a regular guest. He's getting to be a regular here on the show, Dr. Christopher Thompson, professor of moral theology there at the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. And you have a wife and three children. And is that right? 30 years of marriage?
Amen.
That does not seem possible. You look very youthful.
Oh, I don't know about that. And we are posting Facebook Live, I see. So maybe there'll be another view given the gray beard.
That's right.
Young at heart, anyway.
I'm always up for buttering up the guests,
That's good.
That's very good. Well, welcome to the program. And you have recently published The Joyful Mystery, Field Notes Around a Green Thomism. And I understand that you have 5 points to make. So I'm just going to kick it over to you. And if I have clarifying questions, I will ask along the way.
Sure. Thank you so much. And what a pleasure to be here again. It's delightful to be in your company. So
wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Why did we write a book called, The Notes Toward a Green Thomism? Let's maybe talk about that phrase first. It was just an attempt to come up with a phrase that would try to build some bridges between issues in ecology, thus the green part, and Thomism. That is the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas, as I'm sure your listeners know, died in 1274, so quite a way back. And those who are devoted to his thought, Thomists, are clearly interested in some of the deepest and most profound questions of human life. And right now in our history, ecology is on many, many people's minds, I think for good reason. But in the Catholic community, I think, sometimes ecology and our Catholic faith are not united. Obviously, Francis and Laudato Si has asked us to reconsider that. So part of the book was an attempt to respond to his effort to get us to think more deeply about ecological values. So that's the simplest way to sort of summarize the book. For those who are interested in ecology and how it might integrate with their Catholic faith, I'd be delighted if they took a chance to read it, and I'd be delighted to hear what they think, because this is kind of uncharted water for us. Laudato Si really did provoke new areas of thinking across the board. And so I'm really happy to have the chance to make a contribution. As I started to work on the book, I just started to notice other implications in other areas where it started to play out. And that was my 5 points. I'll try to walk through, and you can stop me whenever you want. The first is to say, when we are part of the project, the fundamental project, is about the recovery of nature, the recovery of creation in all of its splendor, as the principal way that you and I begin to discern the reality of God. In other words, when you and I profess Jesus Christ, He is the second person of the Trinity, the one through whom all things were made. He is the Logos incarnate, we say. Well, what is that Logos incarnate? What is that Logos all about? Well, one of the first ways you and I begin to encounter something like the Logos of God is precisely through the beauty of creation. So one area that I really love just praying about and meditating about is when I profess faith in Jesus Christ, it's not opposed to creation. It's not at odds with creation. In fact, I begin to see that the Logos enfleshed in Jesus is the Logos veiled in creation. Now all of a sudden, ecology and theology are in relationship.
Yeah, they're talking to each other.
They are talking to each other, yeah. Exactly. And ecological concerns and concern for the environment is not alien to my Catholic faith. For many, many people, the beauty of creation is their first experience of perhaps the reality of God. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, you know, obviously we can be converted through a number of means, but for many of us, it's paddling, you know, in the boundary waters. It's going out to Rocky Mountain. And we begin to see that this is an incredible experience. Wonder is the beginning of my walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the first point would be to say, is to connect creation and Christ. That's part of the project here. Well, if creation and Christ are connected, maybe that has to have some bearing on my status as a human being. And one of the things I'd love to rejuvenate in our imaginations is this idea that, you know, it's a privilege to be a human being. It's a privilege to be embodied and situated within this created order. It's not a curse. We don't fall into creation. We don't fall into an environment. God creates Adam and Eve from the get-go within this cosmos of which we find ourselves a part. We're not angels, in other words, rammed into bodies for punishment. And so part of our human dignity, part of our dignity as creatures, is to engage this ecological context that we find ourselves in and to embrace it as part of our dignity. Sometimes, you know, we talk about a contra mundum attitude. And you say, well, what about, but it's really mundum that we are contra. That is, it's not natura. Mm. It's mundum. It's worldliness. Mm-hmm. So Christians, Catholics are called to be contra mundum, but not contra natura, not contra nature and creation. In fact, the classic definition of sin is contra natura. Acts which are intrinsically disordered are sometimes called contra natura, contrary to the nature of the human person. Mm. So there's something to meditate on, in terms of how we might want to live our lives. The dignity of the human person as an embodied creature is what establishes the glorious task of culture. You and I are tasked with shaping the earth and using its resources to give glory to God and to raise human dignity, to foster human dignity. I really think in some ways our Catholic faith is we seem to have allowed nature to sort of fall through the cracks. We've allowed, therefore, culture to fall through the cracks. That's not really consistent with our tradition. Where are the Catholic artists? Where are the Catholic artisans? Where are the Catholic shapers of culture in literature, in music, in art, in fabrics, in architecture? We had a glorious tradition around Catholic art and architecture, etc. I think recovering creation will foster some of that. Yeah, you know, the rise of the craft movement. You know, you get craft beer and you've got craft foods and you've got...
I just saw a billboard for craft vodka.
Well, there you go. You know, you get at least it's worth considering, huh? There's the bespoke movement about handmade this, that, and the other thing. I think some people see, oh, that's a sort of pagan, dabbling in temperance. And it certainly can be a vice if not properly situated. But I don't think a Catholic, I think a Catholic should celebrate the craft movement. Because what it is the impress of the human spirit on material creation. We don't just mass produce something. We make a human impression on whatever it is we're working with, whether that's whiskey or vodka or beer or bread or cloth or architecture or music. All of the places where the human intellect and the material creation intersect is culture. That is what culture is. It's the intersection of the spiritual and the material. So what a glorious opportunity for evangelization, for you and I to renew our enthusiasm for craft and culture. And so to me, if we can recover an enthusiasm for the Creator by celebrating craftsmanship and raising it up to the dignity it's had in our tradition, what a glorious gift to the human community. And then, of course, recovering creation and recovering embodiment means recovering the dignity of the body. And perhaps nowhere in culture have we this kind of ontic resentment to creation than in the issues of the body. You see this incredible flight from the nature of what it means to be a man or a woman, the nature of human sexuality especially. It's in the area of sexuality, I think, that created nature. And yes, by that I mean our biological constitution, which for many people, well, that's just a brute fact. That's not morally relevant. Well, not if you believe in creation, not if you believe in a logos of creator, of the Creator. Biology is one of the ways we discover the wisdom of the Creator. So it's not that biology is destiny, but it is a disclosure of how you and I ought to conduct ourselves. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of Humani Vitae, and of course a lot of people are talking about it. I think Humani Vitae is the first installment in the Church's discussion of ecology. It's the first effort to begin to say, look, if we're going to take the Creator seriously, if we're going to take biology as given seriously, this is going to impact how we conduct ourselves in matters of human sexuality. So there's one. And then finally, maybe I would just say recovering creation, recovering nature as the venue through which God communicates his presence to us, his providence to us, influences our worship. It influences how we pray. It influences what's going on at the liturgy. In the great liturgical act, you and I enact and respond to this impulse to give something back to the Creator. When you're up in there in Rocky Mountain, or you're out there in Arizona and you're looking at that Grand Canyon, or you just see a beautiful sunset here in the Twin Cities, there's this impulse to say, what do I do with this? I've seen something beautiful. I want to share it. How do I share it?
Well, you take out your cell phone and take a picture and post it on Instagram, don't you?
Well, that's right. You take a selfie, and in my mind, you kind of ruin the whole experience.
I'm the one.
Yeah, right. There you go. Anyway, so you're out there, and you see something beautiful, and there's this just human impulse to say thank you. And the question is, well, how do I say thank you? What's the best way to do that? Well, we could hurl someone into a volcano, or we could slash our wrists, or we could kill a goat. We could do all the things that human cultures have tried to do to say thank you to the Creator, to God, for their experience. Or we could do what Jesus asked us to do, and that is to offer the bread and wine in his name. That is the great thank you. Mm-hmm. That is the great response. When you and I are under the starry heavens up in those boundary waters and we're paddling in that spectacular evening and we encounter the wonder of the Logos and how much God loves us through this creation, for Pete's sake, don't walk, run to the Eucharist and authentically participate. Prepare yourself through a good confession and examination of conscience and enter into that Eucharistic praise and offer back to the Creator a grand thank you. We know it's an effective thank you because it's Christ Himself that's instituted it. It's Christ Himself that we're giving back. It's the Logos returning to the Logos, if we can talk in such obscure ways. It's the Logos of creation being presented to the Father through the Logos in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's really a spectacular faith we have. I think it just creates an enthusiasm for the care of creation. It places us a little bit more at home in God's creation and hopefully fosters a deeper love. If I can accomplish those things, then this is a successful project.
Wow. And so all these things are included in some way, shape, or form in
some ways, that's all, right. And therefore, it's a rather simple read. It's a rather quick read. Depends on how much training you had. There's a couple of dense parts. You got to do some heavy lifting. But for the most part, I'd like to think that your average Catholic should find something to profit in their prayer and in their meditation. And in the long run, all I'm really trying to do is foster a deeper relationship with the person of Christ. We've got a lot of things in the news that kind of beat us down. But, you know, in your prayer, just look out the window and look for something beautiful, and you'll discover one of the faces of Christ Himself.
That's an important thing and an important point in the world as we know it today, especially with all the increased urbanization and people getting separated from creation in so many ways that it's still important. And that's why green spaces are important within cities. That's why it's worthwhile to go out of the city for respite, for retreat, for recreation.
Right.
Yeah. Any tips or advice you would give to people who find themselves somewhat stuck in the urban jungle?
Well, you know, I'll just speak from my own experience. Sometimes I have to just consciously say, for example, when I was driving in this morning, and here I am in, you know, eight lanes of traffic and steel and thunderstorms, I consciously was telling myself, it's beautiful. It's all so beautiful. Because it is. Being, goodness, truth, and beauty, these are all the transcendental aspects of God's reality. And if I'm paying attention to the things in front of me, I can discern a beauty. Now, sometimes, you know, you're jump starting from a very low spot. But you and I can start to ask ourselves, what's particularly beautiful about the setting I find myself in? And with a little calming prayer and a little focus and a little asking for the grace of the Holy Spirit, I think we can find beautiful things. Frankly, if it exists, it exists because God has willed it into existence, and that God is a God of beauty. So you and I can more prayerfully contemplate the beauty of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and being docile to that gift of beauty, present ourselves back to the Lord. If we're Catholic, we present ourselves back to the Lord through reconciliation and an amendment in prayer. If we're Christian or not Catholic, we begin to introduce ourselves into the Logos of Jesus Christ, veiled in creation, and accept that invitation to draw closer into the reality of God Himself.
The book is The Joyful Mystery, Field Notes Toward a Green Thomism, available, I would assume, pretty much everywhere on the usual places. Dr. Christopher Thompson, thank you for a wonderful interview. It's great to have you on the program again.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to go into our final break, and when we come back, we've got a whole list of events and things coming up to help you draw closer to the Lord, so stick with us.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, Your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3% with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
I'll find you there. I'll find you there. It's here that I call out. It's here that I fall down.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul.
What?
That was pretty good from Dr.
stuff.
Thompson, right?
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to ruminate on. As ruminants do.
I've got some other things to ruminate on.
I'm sure you do.
Well, the 2018 Leading with Faith Award luncheon is coming up Friday, August 10th at the University of St. Thomas. Join us to honor and celebrate our Leading with Faith winners. Space is limited. Register today. Gather at 11:30 a.m. for check-in and complimentary beverage service. Lunch is served promptly at noon. These awards are presented by the Catholic Spirit and the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. For more information and to register, visit the events page at archspm.org or call Mary at 651-251-7709.
Grandparents, you are invited to join Bishop Andrew Cousins for prayer in real life, an evening for grandparents on Thursday, August 16th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Golden Valley. Bishop Cousins will speak on how to pray in real life as grandparents. Let us pray more diligently for our grandchildren. All grandparents are invited to attend. A free will offering will be collected at the event, and refreshments will be provided. There's no cost. Please register and find more details, including a flyer, on the event page at rediscover-faith.org.
The Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture invites you to their 2018 summer workshop on prophetic truths, Humanae Vitae, then and now. Keynote speaker is Bishop John Lavore from the Diocese of New Ulm. The workshop is from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Saturday, August 18th at the St. Paul campus of the University of St. Thomas in McNeely Hall. Mass will be celebrated by Bishop at 8:15 a.m. that morning at the St. Thomas Chapel. Admission is $25. That includes breakout sessions, panel discussion, continental breakfast, and a boxed lunch. For more information, visit stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium or contact Mary Kay O'Rourke at mkorourke@stthomas.edu.
Young adults, you are invited to retreat on Living God's Call. This retreat will take place on Saturday, September 8th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at St. Hubert in Chanhassen. The day will begin with Mass and include continental breakfast, presentations throughout the day, and lunch. Keynote speakers include Dr. David Devo, Leah Jacobson, and Ben Tlugan. To find out more and to register, please visit the events page on rediscover-faith.org or sthubert.org.
Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. The series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There will be a series starting this October at St. Hubert in Chanhassen and a series for young adults taking place at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota.
All right.
And what's up next week?
Next week, tune into the show as we hear from Kathy Rennie and Father Jose, who will talk with us about missions in India with WeShare. We'll also hear from Eric Peterson about what's new in the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education and Carol Fowler on professional development and leadership. True Variety show coming up next week. In the meantime, don't forget to check out rediscover-faith.org and view our interviews via Facebook Live. We're on all the time on Facebook Live on Friday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Check us out. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step,
every journey. They're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.